SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline. With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Get your handicapping shoes on, people. Today it is a glorious Friday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's time for the best hour of your day. That is Moneyline Solo Mission today for your boy Donnie Wrightside. Kevin Walsh will return back here on Monday. So big doings around the NBA. We are going to preview the doubleheader tonight. Win or go home, which is going to decide who the number one seeds in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference end up playing here. So we'll know sooner than later. And then tomorrow, quadruple header on Saturday. How about that? Sunday, quadruple header in the NBA. What a fantastic week ahead. And also, the NHL playoffs beginning as well. Yesterday was the final day of the regular season. Also yesterday, only 4 Major League Baseball games played due to a rain. Now today, a full slate of games across the deck. So we'll check into the Major League Baseball card a little bit later. NBA we're going to focus on because since Moneyline, it's not on Saturday or Sunday. We'll take a preview of the series that are going to start up and also the games that we see the spreads and see which way we can go. Maybe some totals out here. Maybe some overs, maybe some unders, maybe some sides, maybe some player props that we can check in on. But as always, we like to start the show by setting the table for what to anticipate for this weekend's action. And as I told you, the NBA really taking center stage. Multiple injuries across the board here. Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Okupo, injections into knee inflammation for guys like Kawhi Leonard of the Los Angeles Clippers. Joel Embiid, is he fully healthy for the round that they're going to set up tomorrow from Madison Square Garden between the Sixers and the New York Knicks? Question marks abound all the way around. My goodness, Giannis Antetokounmpo, what's going to happen with that calf? We'll find out. We certainly will. But finally today, as I see an update from college football. Usually, when you get an update for the college ranks, it's somebody suing somebody, some coach leaving a school, going to another one, or NIL money, which isn't enough, which means you got to transfer 15 times. Shout out, by the way, did I see also, before I get into the NCAA football story I want to get to, I'll read this right here. Sean Stewart becomes the 7th Duke player to enter into the portal. I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. Also, with like Wisconsin losing Storr and Chucky Hepburn, why though? Is it just now we've talked about in college football, college basketball, women's college basketball, that it's just about NIL money, where no longer is it like, okay, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to play for a certain coach. Now, granted, if the coach gets fired, leaves, takes another job, and like, you know what, man, this coach brought me in. New coach coming in, loves the three-point shot. I'm a big guy down low. Let me go to another school that maybe will appreciate my athletic abilities here. I get that. But what's going on at Duke, though? Like, Shire recruits these kids. You come in, and is it just that you, like, you're at Duke. Like, let's just say you're at the height of the markets, right? You play for Kansas, I don't know, Michigan, just high major teams, right? What could you be? And look, I'm not saying you can't do this, but it used to be in the past. I know there's a lot more restrictions and NIL money's out there. I do get that. I understand. Like, hey, man, coach isn't playing me in my junior year. I'm looking to play, or my senior year is coming up. I could transfer out of here, go from a high major down to a low major, or let's just say even to a mid-major, get my playing time, and finally enjoy the fruits of my labor. Get me out on the basketball court. I want to play more than 2 minutes or 3 minutes a game. But see, like Duke, here's the story on ESPN. Duke freshman forward Sean Stewart, says a former top 20 recruit in the 2023 class announced Friday that he plans to enter the transfer portal. And again, becoming the seventh Duke Blue Devil player to transfer since the end of the season. But he was a top recruit in 20. Like, is he just not that good? That's what I'm trying to assume. It says the 6'9 power forward from Florida averaged 2.6 points per game and 3.2 rebounds in 33 games off the bench as a freshman. Even said he flashed his double-double ability early in the season with 16 and 10 in 18 minutes against LaSalle. Again, bad basketball team, but he's getting some stuff. And says he never carved out a consistent role in John Shire's rotation. So I wonder if this, like, do you just throw in the towel now? Is that what happens? We've all been in those situations before. I don't know, maybe you were a Division I athlete. Maybe you were a Division II athlete, Division III. I don't know what it was. But things weren't going your way. You just pick up and leave? Does that say, like, he doesn't even trust his skill set then? That it's all on the Duke coaching staff. They don't understand me, and I can go out and dominate somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? Like, especially with, like, Jared McCain's leaving. Now, granted, that wouldn't be the same position as a 6'9 power forward. But Kyle Filipowski's leaving. Ryan Young is out of eligibility. There's no room for you here? Or you see Cooper Flagg coming in, it's like, oh, man, I'm not playing with this guy. I'm not playing with this guy. He's too good. He's going to take up all my shine. Your 2.6 points per game shine, right? I don't know. I just, for market movability, I should say, is the word I'm trying to use. Maneuverability. How about that? Sounds better. What is going on, though? You just pick up and leave and go. Now, you're telling me this kid who went to Duke as a top recruit just last year, he's got NIL money on the table where people, hey, man, I'll give you a couple hundred grand. You come to my school. Oh, man, you flashed a lot in those 2 points per game that you played in every game off the bench. And you were a freshman. Are we so led to believe that you graduate high school and go to college as a freshman? Now, granted, there's some great freshmen out there. We're not disputing that. But you can't work your way into a rotation. That's the issue here. Because let's just say we didn't have the transfer portal. And you had to get out of Duke and transfer and sit out a season. I bet you Sean Stewart and the boys stick it out there. Like, you know what? Hey, look, man. These guys are bigger, stronger, and faster than me, even though I'm a top recruit. Let me prove my mettle here. Big offseason for me. Hit in the weight room. Show the coach that I'm actually a really good player. A lot of players are leaving. Other freshmen are coming in. I already have a jump on those freshmen. I know exactly what Duke anticipates from me. I'm going to get out there and play. Instead, they cut bait and run. Like, I don't care about it's Duke. It could be North Carolina. It could be Florida. It could be anybody here. It just doesn't make sense. Seven players hit the portal from Duke. Like, one of the best institutions, not only for you know, I don't know about their NIL money, but just from a status of, I'm going to get a great education and play for a top-notch university, one of the better conferences in the country, and I'm a freshman with 3 years left of eligibility, but nah, you know what? I'm better off. Now, granted, if he transfers and goes to Wisconsin and plays 5 minutes a game, then it's like, come on, man, what are we doing? But if you do transfer down, let's just say go to Texas State because you want to start, I understand that. We all want to play. Like, nobody wants to just go to a big-time university and say, you know what, man, I love my 4 years. Got in about 5 minutes every game and, you know, averaged 4 points for my career, and that was really good. Or you could have gone to a Sun Belt conference, a SoCon conference, a Colonial Athletic conference, and really played, and played well. Oh, well, just the way it is now at this point, NIL money is really what it's about. And that's the only thing it's about at this point. Let's talk NBA action, people. We got a lot to get after. Coming up after these words, you make sure you keep the dial. SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Friday afternoon. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission here. Big weekend in the NBA, no doubt about it. I always like to take a look at some of the gambling numbers that come from across the country. Typically, we look at like Las Vegas, obviously mecca of gambling out there. Sports gambling here in New Jersey, which is where I'm located. But I always find it interesting, like, who actually brings in the most money. And it's no surprise, if anybody's ever been to Atlantic City, Look, it's... I can't say it's a nice town, because that's not really the great way to put it. Atlantic City is very downtrodden if you get one block or so off of the boardwalk. I mean, it's been hit by some certainly hard times. But the interesting part about it is, like, what casinos are actually bringing in money here? Gaming revenue in the month of March. The numbers just came out here in Atlantic City. And if you're taking a look, one casino absolutely smoked every casino. Now, here's the interesting part about it. If you've ever been to Atlantic City, there was a row of casinos along the ocean and the boardwalk. You know, starts all the way up. The first property, I believe, is the Ocean Resort, which we do our college, or excuse me, pro football shows there a couple weeks out of the year in the fall, right outside the casino there. It's a very nice casino, and probably, what, the newest property, I would assume, down there? On the boardwalk anyway. But stretching all along, like you have the Hard Rock down there, you know, Bally's is down there. Who else? Tropicana. Resorts. There's a lot of them. All the way down the list you go. Boardwalk Hall, also located there, obviously on the boardwalk. That's where, you know, the old Tyson fights used to be. Seen a couple concerts down there. Nice arena. Certainly a nice arena that they've upgraded a few times over the years. But the boardwalk casinos all fight with each other for market share. There are a few casinos that are actually located on the bay, which, you know, you can, they're not that far away, a couple minute cab ride from the boardwalk over to the bay. And the interesting part about that, there's three casinos out there. One is the Golden Nugget, which brought in $70.6 million of total revenue, which used to be Trump Castle back in the day when it was originally under Donald Trump. It's changed hands a few times there. But that brought in $70.6 million in gaming revenue. The Borgata brought in $106.6 million in gaming revenue. And just to give you an idea, like, there are big casinos down there, right? Bally's Corporation, obviously. Caesars is down there. Hard Rock is down there as well. Ocean Resort. But when we're looking from a gambling perspective here, it's amazing that the Borgata trumps them all by far. And if you've ever, again, been to Atlantic City, it's by far the nicest casino in Atlantic City by a wide margin, and it's not even close. It's not even close. So to me, when you walk through those casinos, it's no surprise where you don't even have to know the numbers. And you'd say to yourself, which casino is the best casino in Atlantic City? It's the Borgata, and it's not even close. Been to the sports books there multiple times. You know, I believe it. I want to say I went opening night, either in 03, let's see, 03, 04, 05, in that range, I believe Borgata came into light. And since it came in, always has been the best casino. Then they're absolutely dwarfs places. Like Resorts Casino, which was the original casino in Atlantic City that came in the late 1970s, that has $13.6 million in gaming revenue. And again, the Borgata, what, roughly 10 times the gaming revenue there? Caesars, which you figure is a big casino and a popular name, only $18 million they did in total revenue. Across the boardwalk itself, it looks like the Hard Rock at $58.3 million was the best of the bunch down there. Who else was down there? Tropicana, $36 million. But the Golden Nugget even out there is, again, $70.6 million. Where's Harrah's at? Harrah's $22 million. They're doing something wrong because on the bay, it's the Borgata, it is the Golden Nugget, and it's Harrah's. Tough times out there for Harrah's here. But I always like to see who comes in, and the gaming business in the state of New Jersey and across the United States, always got to be plugged into that. Okay, let's start the plug in here and have some fun with the NBA action. Doubleheader tonight. Now, I like this. These are win or go home games. Both of them tonight has that college basketball feel, right? A tournament game. Win and survive. Now, similar to like you would see in the first four, where you have those lower teams playing off against each other for the right to go ahead and say, we are now the 16th seed overall. Time to get hammered by the number one seed. That's really the vibes here, but particularly on one end of it. We don't know who Oklahoma City is playing. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference. We don't know yet who the Boston Celtics are playing here in the Eastern Conference. But we're going to find out tonight, no doubt about it. Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. Taking a look at the numbers right now. This game's going to tip off at 7 o'clock tonight. Ticket-wise, spread dollars, which means the money on the game itself, 78% of that is on the Chicago Bulls. Ticket-wise, right? 58% on the Chicago Bulls. This line opened up as a favorite at the Miami Heat for about 2.5. This is before the Jimmy Butler information came out. Jimmy Butler was announced that he's probably going to miss the playoffs for all intents and purposes. That line goes from 2.5 down to 1.5 across the board, depending on where you're shopping. Total in this game opened up at 209. Jimmy Butler's out. Now we see 206s and 206.5. Looks like the 206.5 is the primary number. So the public climbing on, and you can't fault them for doing this. Let's play things just simplicity, right? The Miami Heat technically are the better team when healthy, right? Terry Rozier was supposed to be part of that team to come over via trade and say, you know what? You guys need help with scoring. That's what I do. That was a great piece to pick up. Played decently for the Miami Heat, but not going to be giving it a go because there's a strained neck or an injured neck at this point. That stinks for them. Duncan Robinson was cleared to play last time we heard in the game against Philadelphia in the play-in round for the right to be the 7th seed. Now the Miami Heat lost that game. Duncan Robinson didn't play in that game at all. And then you take a look at Jimmy Butler, who one of the toughest dudes, man, you are ever going to meet. Guy hurt his MCL knee injury in the first quarter and gutted out 40 minutes in Philadelphia. That's pretty incredible. It really is. So if there's anybody that's going to come back earlier to anything, it's probably going to be Jimmy Butler. But coming back tonight, I don't know if that's going to take place. Certainly not. We're not expecting that outside of an absolute miracle at this point. So we'll see what the Miami Heat actually get out of Duncan Robinson. But is it just so easy to look at this game tonight and say, Chicago Bulls played really well against the Atlanta Hawks? Again, the Hawks aren't a great team. Trae Young was back for that game, hammered him. DeJounte Murray, as you know, a very good player for the Hawks, hammered him. So where does that leave the Bulls coming into this? Kobe White was sensational. 40-plus point performance in that last game. Can he continue that against the Miami Heat? We'll find out. But also, as we know, it's easier to play on your home court than it is to play on the road. The Miami Heat are the home court team tonight. The crowd will be the favorite for them, and they are still an actual favorite. And let's get down to it as well. Being a favorite with Eric Spoelstra as a head coach, who you give him a couple days to prepare a game plan without Jimmy Butler. He should have the boys ready to go. We've seen that zombie Heat team with multiple starters down surprise and win basketball games. Nobody's going to fall on the floor if the Miami Heat come away with a victory tonight. But the betting public is saying counterproductive now, man. It's Bulls. I can't get enough of the Bulls. I love the way they played against the Atlanta Hawks. They should be able to smash the Miami Heat, who are now down Jimmy Butler, their best player. Where are their points going to come from? And technically, I would agree with you there. But other players are going to have to step up. Tyler Hero is going to have to step up tonight. Caleb Martin's going to be inserted into that starting lineup. He's going to have to step up tonight. Bam Adebayo. You can't just be like, hey, man, I'm going to play some good defense tonight. No, they need you to score. They need you to score. But you see, there's not a monster discrepancy at that opening line. Like Jimmy Butler being worth roughly a point across the board. That's it. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? They can't win out without Jimmy Butler. Yeah, they can. Look at the spread. FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, PointsBet, Bet365, everybody chiming in. Yeah, they can win this game. They're favored. Technically, they're supposed to win this game. So where would your betting eyes go in this? Is it a player points prop where you say to yourself, okay, Jimmy Butler's not out here. Let's press the needle down on somebody else. I think it's got to be Tyler Hero. If Tyler Hero doesn't play a good game today on the offensive end, I don't think the Miami Heat have a chance. He is the centerpiece and the key to victory. Now, what we're going to talk about next, Kings and Pelicans, game number 2 of a play-in doubleheader tonight in the NBA. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on a Friday afternoon. Donnie Wrightside, solo mission, talking some NBA action. But I always like to bring the people a fresh approach and say, what's going around on the sports landscape? Yesterday, we had 3 games in Major League Baseball that began in the 1 o'clock hour. Today, we don't have that. Just 1 game that started in Chicago. And currently, that game is listed with a 0-0 tie. It's Miami-Chicago. A.J. Puck on the mound versus Jameson Taillon. Heavy favorite coming into this game for the Chicago Cubs. So we'll see how that works. I don't think the Cubs have a doubleheader today. So I guess that game, a postponed game, is
I don't know, maybe going to be made up at a later date, as we like to say. But a full Major League Baseball slate, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Also, RBC being played out here, the Heritage from Harbortown Golf Links, Hilton Head, South Carolina. 81 degree temperatures. Ooh, that would be nice. It's still cold in the Northeast, man. Wake up, Northeast. Do we have to wait till May to actually get some good temperatures around here and some sun? Goodness. Three guys, by the way, tied for the lead. Oh, it's Scotty Scheffler. No, it's actually not Scotty Scheffler. We'll get to him in a second. Tom Hoge, I guess. Hoagie? Can't be Hoagie. It's got to be Hoge. H-O-G-E. Minus 11. Sepp Straka, minus 11. Colin Morikawa, minus 11. Followed by two guys at minus 10, Patrick Rogers and Ludvig Åberg, who was awesome last week, firing away at 5-under today. He shot back-to-back 66, people. He's in it for the weekend here. JT Poston, who's the round one leader, is through five holes at minus 1, so he's 9-under. So by the time he's done today, he's probably going to be able to take the lead. A couple of those guys already done, 7s-under, 5-under, 6-unders. I mean, these guys are torching this golf course right now. Rory McIlroy's out there currently. Actually, no, he just finished his round. Minus 7 after a 3-under today. So he shot 67, 68 in back-to-back days. I haven't said that name yet, people. We haven't said Scotty Scheffler just yet. So as we scroll down, Seamus Power, 7-under. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Thomas Dietrich, Xander Schauffele, Austin Eckroat, Chris Kirk, Mackenzie Hughes, Jason Day, Byung-Young An, 6, Russell Henley, 6-under, Thigala, 6-under, Hadwin, 5-under. I haven't said his name yet. Let's scroll down to the 4-unders here. Batia, Zalatoris, Moore, Garnett, Svensson, Young, Finau, Cole, still haven't said his name yet. So you're telling me Scotty Scheffler, who feels like we're going to win every single tournament anywhere we play, is now looking still at a 7-shot or more deficit as we scroll down. Let's keep scrolling. 3-under pars. Oh, found them. Finally found them. Brian Harman, Brendan Todd, Denny McCarthy, Eric Van Ruyen, Sam Burns, Lucas Glover, and there he is. Scotty Scheffler, just out on the golf course, minus 1 today through 4 holes, shot 69 yesterday. He's minus 3 right now on the golf course. So let me bring up my handy-dandy odds right now to win the Heritage. All right, so now we're finally getting some appropriate price points, which we weren't getting yesterday. I mean, dude was way back and still getting like 9-to-1 prices, which is ridiculous. Morikawa is actually the favorite right now at plus 360. Ludvig Åberg, 5-to-1 price. Scrolling down, JT Poston, Patrick Cantlay, Scheffler 12-to-1. Scheffler's 12-to-1. He currently sits 8 shots back of the leader. So what's his low number today? Let's just say he's 3-under right now, 1-under on the day. Let's say he shoots 7-under par, which is 6-under still. That's 9-under, which he won't even be the leader no matter what he does, obviously, at 9-under in the clubhouse. But yet there's a lot of players out there, like, again, JT Poston is 5 holes through at minus 1. He could shoot and go 13 or 14-under, which would mean if Scheffler torches the golf course today, he's still going to be like 5 shots back heading into the weekend. I don't know how you price it. I don't know how that makes sense. But Scotty Scheffler certainly is a guaranteed machine out there in the golf course. All right, game number 2 tonight of the NBA doubleheader, Sacramento Kings, New Orleans Pelicans. Rotation number 557, 558, 930 tip-off tonight. So 7 o'clock tonight, 930 tonight. By the way, I'm just fading the public on sides tonight. I'm taking the Miami Heat, minus 1.5. You know what I'm doing game number 2? I don't know if I can actually fade the public in this one. New Orleans Pelicans, who are going toe-to-toe with the Los Angeles Lakers. Zion Williamson looked like he's every bit the person that was supposed to be drafted number 1 overall out of Duke. The man, the myth, the legend, finally coming up in the biggest moments here to knock the Lakers back to the 8th seed and have the Pelicans already punched their ticket into the playoffs. At home, they lose, he gets hurt, we won't see him again, and now we're taking a look at what it actually means for the Pelicans. Talented. Like when Zion was in that lineup, talented as all get out, man. Talented as all get out. Now he's not going to be there. You're still at home. You're still the favorite. We have to keep a mind on that. And by the way, let me just take a look at some of this odds moving on this game. Because we had as high as minus 2.5 2 days ago at least FanDuel. And that 2.5 was the favorite for the road team here, Sacramento. That line finally flipped. This morning, we had minus ones at 11:33 Eastern today. Then the next update, minus one over to the Pelicans at 11:36 a.m. And it stayed that way since. So we've had some topsy-turvy action here and a massive public favorite on the Sacramento Kings. 76% of the tickets right now coming in on the Sacramento Kings. And again, that line today was a favorite towards the Kings. That means big money and some sharps pushing around that number in favor now of the New Orleans Pelicans. Also, how about this total, too? This is wild. When the numbers first went live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and again, we don't know how long these numbers were live for, but the first posted number showing was 226.5 as a total. We now sit at 210.5 across the board. That's the prevailing line. It seems low. Look, I know Zion's out and Zion was awesome and dropped 40 points in that last effort. I get all that. I do. But are we just going to throw this team out like they can't play anymore if Zion doesn't show up? And Lord knows over the past couple years, Zion didn't show up a lot for the Pelicans, usually more injured than actually active here. So if you're looking for a public fade, yeah, Bulls heat here. People are going to bet the Bulls because of the healthier team. They look good in the last game. No Jimmy Butler, yada, yada, yada. But it looks like people just can't get enough of the Sacramento Kings, but not enough to keep them as a favorite. Switching over here to the opposite side. Who's coming up big tonight for the Pels? CJ McCollum? Ingram? Is he back healthy enough to sort of dominate in this basketball game? Valanciunas going to give you a double-double in there? We know who needs to show up for the Sacramento Kings. I mean, Keegan had a big game last game, didn't he? Is he showing up again on the road? We know those. That's not fair to say he's a B-level player. But the Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are probably 1 and 1A on that team we could agree about. Those other options tend to play much, much better at home than they do on the road. That's a fact. So let me just flip it over here and take a look at some prop bets here on tonight's game. Also, I'm waiting for some odds boost to pop up. Nothing yet here, which we should get on FanDuel. Nothing yet on Bet365. These should pop in something good tonight. Give me a points prop mixed in or two guys combined for 50 points. Something like that. But the points props in this game, De'Aaron Fox, 27.5. He's high man on the totem pole. Domantas Sabonis, 18.5 points. Keegan Murray, who was awesome in the last game, 17.5 points. Harrison Barnes, 13.5. Keon Ellis, 9.5. Heck, you even got Trey Lyles out there at 6.5. But we go over, leader in the clubhouse for the Pelicans, that's CJ McCollum. It's 24.5, but at a plus 108 number. So probably, generally a 23.5, you're probably finding at most other outlets there. Brandon Ingram, 20.5. Jonas Valanciunas, 11.5. Trey Murphy, the third, at 17.5. See if he gets an increase in playing time today. Drop a couple triples from the outside. Herbert Jones at 11.5. Jose Alvarado out of Georgia Tech, tough little guard. 7.5 points. Larry Nance Jr. at 6.5. But if you're looking to fade the public today, you got a really good angle here with the New Orleans Pelicans. Take a look at this. This is where big money can push numbers around. Let's just go on equal numbers here, right? Let's go 25% of the tickets coming in on the Pelicans. It's actually listed at 24, which means Sacramento Kings, 76% of the bets. So in layman's terms, 3 out of every 4 bets coming in are being placed. Forget about dollar size. 3 out of every 4 bets being placed on the Sacramento Kings. Now let's do the money end of this. 61% of the money is coming in on the New Orleans Pelicans. That's pretty insane. Because I just told you, 3 out of every 4 tickets are coming in on the Sacramento Kings. So 25% of the bets are equaling 61% of the money. That's amazing. That's something to look out for. That should be fun. All right. Another segment coming up in just a moment here where we're going to set the table for this week's action in the NBA. Four games. I love it. By the way, NBA, you did it right. You finally did it right. 1 o'clock, 3:30, 6 o'clock, and 8:30 on Saturday. Magic Cavaliers, first game on deck. I agree with it. Just get that out of the way. Outside of Orlando, outside of Cleveland, we're not caring that much about that game. Just the way it is. Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves, fantastic. 76ers, New York Knicks, fantastic. Lakers Nuggets to end the night, fantastic. NBA's got it right. It's going to be popping this weekend. There is no doubt about that. Let's take a look at those games on Saturday, and also, let's take a look at some Major League Baseball action today and handicap on the fly. See what's what? Maybe we'll find some RBI props. I'm ready to dig in tonight. It's time to have some fun on a Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Having some fun here on a Friday afternoon on the Sports Grid Network. Absolutely. Donnie Wrightside here, Moneyline. Big NBA weekend. Tonight, doubleheader, went over the games between the Bulls and the Heat, Kings and the Pelicans. Now we shift some focus here to Saturday afternoon's quadruple header. Orlando Magic, Cleveland Cavaliers, Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves, 76ers, Knicks, Lakers, and the Nuggets. If we're looking from a spread perspective, highest spread on the board tomorrow, 7 to 7.5. That's a favorite for the Denver Nuggets. Second highest spread tomorrow, 4.5 points here across the board. Cleveland Cavaliers over the Orlando Magic. Then we have a couple toss-ups here. Road teams getting points. Phoenix Suns are getting 1.5 primarily. 2 points the Phoenix Suns are getting at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Everywhere else is 1.5. DraftKings, MGM, PointsBet, and Bet365. Philadelphia 76ers getting 3 points from the New York Knicks. Only one I'm showing here that's lower is BetMGM at -2.5. As a favorite towards the Knicks. And then the highest number on the board right now, points bet here in New Jersey, is a -3.5 as a favorite to the New York Knicks. Totals, pretty low here, again in the playoffs. Both of those games tonight, 206.5 and 210.5. Games tomorrow, Magic and Cavaliers, 207.5. Suns Timberwolves, 214. Sixers and Knicks, 209. And the Lakers, 224. That's the top one here. We'll see if these games can get some tempo played into it. Now, one of those totals that I do think actually makes some sense, Philadelphia 76ers, New York Knicks. I know Tibbs loves defense. I get it. But the fact that both of these teams coming in relatively healthy. Now, we know with the Knicks, OG Anunoby's back in the fold looking good. Dante DiVincenzo's turned into a three-point maven, firing three after three after three. And we know Jalen Brunson is a spectacular player. Quite frankly, probably should have been in the MVP race. Not to win it, but just getting a little bit more love than he actually got. Held that Knicks team together all by himself for a long stretch of that season. We didn't see Anunoby and or Julius Randle for quite some time. And here the Knicks are, the number two seed. Fantastic job by him. But Joel Embiid is back. Joel Embiid, for his 6-7 games that he's been back, is averaging close to 30 points. That matters. What was that game that the Sixers won, like 73-69 or 79-73 back in the Garden? I think it was like March 10th. Ugly game. That 2 days later, the Knicks did return the favor and pounded the Philadelphia 76ers in the Garden. But again, those games were without Joel Embiid. Those teams played four times this year. Joel Embiid only played in one game this year. So I understand the playoffs. As a whole, you're going to get lower scoring. But also, game number one in the playoffs, much, much different than play-in game playoffs. Why? It's pretty simple, right? Chicago Bulls, Miami Heat. You let me know what the loser's doing in that game. Booking flights to Cancun, the Caribbean, Tahiti, Hawaii. Getting away from it all. Sacramento Kings, New Orleans Pelicans. You tell me what the loser's doing after that game. Same exact thing. Punta Cana time, baby. Let's go on a cruise. Relax. Season's over. Which means, and I'm not downplaying what we're going to see in round number one of the NBA playoffs, but when you are in a de facto game seven situation, every single chance you get to score and stop somebody matters. Defense is a level up. Offense is protecting the basketball. Not as many run out points as you typically would get in an NBA game. And it's correct. That's what happens. In the biggest moments, you throw the caution to the wind and play your best basketball under wraps. We'll see if it plays out tonight because they're two lower numbers. But in game number more, there's game number one, there's more leeway for the four games on Saturday and the four games on Sunday. So when I look at that Sixers-Knicks game, and if you think it's going to be a defensive game, man, it could be. It could stay under. But for me, I do think it's going to be a little bit more wide open. Sixers just had one of those games against the Miami Heat and went over 100 points in a game that looked like they weren't even going to score 80 points in that game for the time being. Sixers were horrendous. Scored 66 points in the second half. Got over that century number. Why can't both of these teams tonight, the Knicks and the 76ers, get over 100 points? I think they will. I like the total in that game. I do. I'll go over 209 in that Sixers-Knicks game. Sidewise perspective, looks like we're showing, what, about 7 of every 10 tickets coming in on the Knicks tonight. Garden's going to be jumping. But the slingshot effect, you hear me use that term quite a bit during basketball. Not really during the regular season because it doesn't really pertain to it. We're not slingshotting, let's just say, I don't know, a game on a Tuesday that you won to a game on Thursday. Hey, let's get the momentum in there and do what we got to do. Like, no, slingshot effect means the Philadelphia 76ers are already in the playoffs. They had a de facto playoff game against the Miami Heat that they needed to win in order to get the 7 seed. They did that. Same thing in college basketball when you're playing in the field of 64. Hey, man, we already won a game out here. We're ready to go. Or should I say the first 4. You pick up that win, you're already in playoff mode at that point, ready to survive in advance. Now you're into the playoffs. So the Sixers get to take a little bit of a deep breath, but they've already been engaged in playoff mode. I expect a good offensive performance out of the Sixers, and I expect a good offensive performance out of the New York Knicks. I do. Over 209 tonight, tomorrow. Love it. Let's take a look at another game. 3:30 p.m. Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves. Ticket counter here. Phoenix Suns getting about, what, 43% of the tickets. Timberwolves at 57% of the tickets. Line across the board, favorite as a Timberwolf, -2 at FanDuel, 1.5 everywhere else. This is such an interesting series overall because the thought process for me for the Phoenix Suns at the start of the year was, boy, oh boy, Donnie, you tell me right now the Phoenix Suns are going to be healthy with their big three for game one of the playoffs. That was the only goal for the regular season. Lining up tonight in that starting lineup, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be Devin Booker. It's going to be Bradley Beal. It's going to be Kevin Durant. The big three is there. Now the question is, do you trust the big three? Because I'm telling you right now, Minnesota's a really good team. Fighting for that top seed in the Western Conference all year long. Lost out in the end to two good basketball teams. Denver Nuggets claim the 2 seed. OKC claims that number 1 seed. But that's a tough scenario for the Timberwolves that I don't think they're getting a lot of respect in. I'm going to back them in game number 1 going up against the Suns. Because quite frankly, again, I don't know. Talked with Joe Ranieri this morning on the early line. It's like if I keep preaching all season long, waiting on the Suns. And it seems like for 75% of the season, right? 75%. We couldn't watch the big three play basketball for the Phoenix Suns. There wasn't enough chance to gel. But they are healthy, and that does mean a lot. And Grayson Allen filled in very well this season. Enough to get a 4-year extension worth up to $70 million with the Phoenix Suns. They got offense for days if they're healthy. But the one thing you can't count out is how good a defensive team the Minnesota Timberwolves are. Because a game with the Phoenix Suns that's listed at a total when the big three is healthy and will play at 214 lets you know the deal here. Minnesota doesn't necessarily want to get into a track meet with the Phoenix Suns. They want to play good defense with Rudy Gobert. And oh yeah, let's remind ourselves, much like Joel Embiid, who missed a month or so down the stretch, so did Karl Anthony Towns. He's back and healthy and playing. I'm going to back the Minnesota Timberwolves here. -1.5 on Saturday afternoon. Now, the one game that has a lot of public interest, and rightfully so, So I'm going to take a look here at FanDuel and get some of the updated numbers just from their website on where these bets are going between the Lakers and the Nuggets. That line was 7.5 this morning. Seemed like a lot, right? Like, oh, wait a second. Donnie, you're talking about that slingshot effect, man. Lakers already went on the road and got a win. They're in playoff mode. You're going to give me 7.5 points? Ooh, betting public pushing that number around, dropping it to 7 now. Total listed at 224. We're actually expecting some points in this game. How about that? But the betting numbers, percentage of bets for the spread, 73%. So at every 100 tickets coming in on this game, regardless of money amount, are coming in on the Los Angeles Lakers on the road. Percentage of money on the spread, or excuse me, percentage of money go up against the spread, which means the size of the bets. 77% of the money is on the Lakers. No respect at all for the Nuggets. Or is it the fact that the betting public is sitting back and saying to themselves, hey, hey, how can you give 7 to 7.5 points for the Denver Nuggets? Lakers just showed me something. They went on the road. Zion scored 40. They still won. LeBron James, 23 points, 9 boards, 9 rebounds, doing it all. Getting some help from D'Lo from three-point range. Anthony Davis playing decent basketball. I'll take those points because in that environment, you can say the Lakers can lose that game and still comfortably say they can cover with 7 points. You can't say that in 2, 3, or 4. You better hope or think they can win that basketball game. But you can say the Lakers can have a backdoor cover in this environment. Now also, the Denver Nuggets have heard this before. Let's go back to last year's playoffs. Western Conference Finals. Los Angeles Lakers. Denver Nuggets. Does anybody remember what that series was when it finished up? Some of you don't because it was boring. Because it was a sweep by the Denver Nuggets. Pulverized the Lakers. So say, okay. Got that bullet on your, you know, bullseye on your back right now. How about that, Denver? Who would come up for you this year as the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, what would you know? These teams played 3 times in the regular season. It's another sweep, people. And it wasn't the Lakers. It was the Denver Nuggets again, sweeping the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Nuggets certainly, under Mike Malone, know how to handle the Los Angeles Lakers. But in the playoffs, it does ramp up. But you could just look back to again last year. Hey, Donnie, what, it wasn't ramped up for LeBron James when he was in the Western Conference Finals? That wasn't ramped up enough? They got swept. Do I think they get swept in this game? Probably not. Or excuse me, in the series, probably not. But my goodness, man. It seems like a lot of points. And the public is agreeing. Now, it did go in the public's favor today, right? Had to. Line goes from 7.5 down to 7. All that public support and money coming in, pushing that number lower. Now, we got some time to react to this game because it's not until tomorrow night at 8:30. But that's a great setup. If I had to pick, all games on Saturday afternoon through evening, I probably would go with the Magic getting 4.5 points, going with the Timberwolves minus 1.5. I'd probably go with the Knicks minus 3, to be honest, against my Sixers. And then I take the Nuggets at home, minus 7. So there you go. 3 out of 4 games, I'm going ahead and taking the home team here. Because home team does mean something. It absolutely does. Now, the games tonight, again, the Bulls Heat, Kings Pelicans, they'll decide who the number one seeds take on. The Boston Celtics and the OKC Thunder. Woo! What a weekend, people. You might not be able to keep up. NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, Hot Topics, the draft next week. It's what we do right here at the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Top four fadeable pitchers for this Friday. By the way, one is already in play right now, A.J. Puck from Miami. And the reason being is they're already down 3-0 in that game. So Chicago Cubs getting to A.J. Puck and the Marlins early. The other guys, Tristan McKenzie of Cleveland. Now, again, these are way too early numbers to look at, but you sort of want to get that eye plane as we head towards May, and we'll get enough innings where he can sort of track this things a little bit better. A 193 xFIP minus for Tristan McKenzie, A.J. Puck a 186, Andrew Heaney of the Texas Rangers a 157, Tyler Anderson of Tampa Bay at a 131. So those are the guys that are fadeable pitchers today. Not necessarily that you want to fade them because the matchups do have to make sense. But as I was talking about earlier today, going over some of these games on the early line this morning with Joe Ranieri, if we take a look, now we don't have starting lineups in yet, but let's take a look at Tyler Anderson. Pitcher today for Tampa Bay. 181 batters he faced last year. He wasn't very good at all. But he actually was decent against right-handed pitchers, terrible against lefties. Let's focus on this year. 70 batters he's faced, an ISO power number of 308 and a weighted on base percentage of 417. Now, he's actually been okay weighted on base percentage-wise to lefties, but he's got a high ISO power number to lefties. And he's been terrible in his 50 at-bats that he's faced against right-handed batters this year. So I do think there's a legitimate chance today that you get a breakout from the offense for the New York Yankees at home in Yankee Stadium. Maybe the best matchup in this entire lineup tonight. Usually don't like this. Lefty on lefty, right? Usually try to stay away from that situation. Well, Juan Soto against left-handed pitching this year, 30 at-bats, 292 ISO, 505 weighted on base percentage. So you match up that 333 ISO power number that Alexander's given up to lefties this year with Juan Soto's 292, seems like a match made in heaven. But more importantly, we're focused on the right-handed batters. Juan Soto's a lefty. Anthony Rizzo is a lefty. Alex Verdugo's a lefty. Everybody else will bat from the right-hand side, which again, Tyler Alexander getting hammered from the right-hand side this year. Could it be a Yankees breakout tonight in the Bronx? Well, they got Clark Schmidt on the mound. Should be some fun to watch. A lot of great action. Thanks for tuning in all week long to Moneyline. It's been a lot of fun. Behind the wheels of steel, Matias, your boy DRS on this side. See you Monday. Enjoy your weekend.